morning, all. Good morning, Oasis Community Church. It is great to be with you this morning on this beautiful, sunny day. The sun is out. I know we wish we could all be together. We wish that we could physically be together, but we've got this technology, and I want to thank God for it, that we get to be in each other's homes, praying together, worshiping together, seeking God together for this next hour. So I pray you've had a great week. I pray that you've encountered God through our Connect groups and everything else we've got going on. Just want to say before we start anything, we're putting loads of resources out online. If you want to get to onto our website, just occ-stratford.org.uk/COVID-19. There's updates going on there all the time. We've just recently put up a load of stuff to do with kids worship and Sunday school and virtual Sunday school. So I think our kids are downstairs enjoying some Sunday school stuff right now, while my wife is watching downstairs, and we're sorting this out here as well. So it's just thrilling to see us all coming together and enjoying being in God's presence as a church. So we're going to worship on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of what is known to many as Holy Week. We're going to be celebrating next Sunday, Easter Sunday. But right now we come and we're going to worship and pray and seek God on this Palm Sunday. So let's watch this video together, and then Alan's going to lead us in worship. Ian's also on, and Phil again is frantically doing stuff in the background. So I just want to thank all of those guys for making this morning happen. But let's watch this video together, and then we're going to worship.
Hi everyone, hope you're okay this morning. How great the has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. In Christ alone, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's cursed has lost its grip on me. I am his, and he is mine. presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before Him now with reverence and fear. In Him no sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still. Presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with
Jesus, we thank You for Your majesty and Your power and Your authority. Just as You, as Alan continues to pray, to play, why don't You just begin to offer prayers of thankfulness and gratitude at what Jesus has done. Struck by the line, no work too hard for Him. In faith, receive from Him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. And that's a truth, that's a reality that we can experience this morning as we come to Him in worship and praise and adoration and thanksgiving. Sure, the world seems to be chaos at the moment, but in the chaos, God speaks His life and His peace. And so let us just begin to give thanks and remind ourselves that there is no work that is indeed too hard for Him this morning. So as Alan just continues to play, before we lead into it and just another song, let's just offer those prayers of thanks. Lord, as we continue to give our offerings of thanks and praise, Lord, we acknowledge that you are good, that you are gracious, that you are compassionate, that you are merciful, that you are powerful, that you are able to intervene and to move. But Lord, this morning we want to know something of your power and your presence at work in us and through us, not for our sake alone, but for the sake of the world. Lord, may you do something in us this morning that has a catalytic effect upon the environments in which we inhabit, Lord. No work is too hard for you. So move in our day, in Jesus' name. Thanks, Alan.
To be in your presence, to sit at your feet, where your love surrounds me and makes me complete. This is my desire, O Lord. This is my desire. This is my desire, O Lord. This is my desire.
Sitting at your feet, just resting. At the church in our neighborhoods, we're gathering around these different practices. Lord, not because the practice of itself is what's important, but it's what it that it leads us to your presence, where we get to sit, where we get to are. We get to be reminded that we can do anything and that no plan of yours can be thwarted. That even though we can walk through the valley, the shadow of death, we don't need to be afraid. You are so close to us, you are close to us. They are protecting us. They don't need to be present. This is Psalm 27. We rest in priority of our desire to do above our anger, above our frustration, above our anger, Lord, prioritize. Sunday, and I wanted to take this opportunity to read that. Just this morning, I was just pondering it and thinking through, and I just wanted to share what my thoughts were this morning as we then come and worship and start to pray again. But Matthew 21, verse 1 says, when they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two disciples, telling them, go into the village ahead of you. At once you'll find a donkey tied there with her foal. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and he will send them at once. This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. Tell daughter Zion, see your king is coming to you gentle and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and its foal. Then they laid their clothes on them and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches from trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowd who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in uproar, saying, who is this? The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in the Galilee. This triumphant entry, this moment where we see the King of Kings coming into the city. But actually, it's completely upside down. The kingdom of God so often is completely upside down. As we are experiencing what we're experiencing now, his kingdom is completely upside down. But actually, I've been praying this week that the church would be stronger than it's ever been when we're in our weakest state physically, when we can't even meet, because the kingdom of God is upside down. And the people were rejoicing at this triumphant entry of the King of Kings, this one they thought would be the savior. I mean, they're shouting out, Hosanna. It means save us. Will you save us? We need someone to come and save us, to make our life better, to improve our circumstances. God will cry out to you because we want you to come and do that for us. They started to lay their clothes on the ground. For those that know their Bibles, 2 Kings 9, we see another king coming in and taking the rule and reign from a defiant king. And the people see King Jehu come into the city and they start to lay their clothes on the ground as he walks over them. This king, this honoring the king, the palm branches, as we see them waving their palm branches. Some 200 years before this moment, that city waved branches as another king came in, having defeated another evil oppressor. It wasn't the Romans this time, it was the Greeks, and it was Judas Maccabeus comes in and they're waving these branches. See, all of what we're seeing here is the people thinking the king is coming and he's going to save us. He's going to make our life better. He's going to improve things. The shouts of Hosanna, the coats on the floor, the palm branches, they all display this coming powerful savior. But what strikes me is that he rides in on the donkey. He rides in on the humblest of animals, this beast of burden. Oh, he will be the king, but he won't be like any other king. And he won't rule and reign like anything we've ever experienced, not through power nor by might, but by death. That we're going to remember this coming week. That's how the king came and ruled and reigned. Can I tell you, God never works the way the world works. He rarely works the way I think he should work. The crowds wanted Jesus to be the warrior, savior, king that would come and save them from the evil oppression. We're so good at calling out to Jesus, aren't we, when we need him? When we need him to be the Jesus that we want him to be. People even start to shout and pray out to God when things aren't going the way they want it to. Oh, Jesus, come and save us. Make things better. Please, will you make life better for us? Will you improve our circumstances? And do you know what? God graciously answers these prayers. But I wonder if he answers them the way that we always want him to, the way that we think he should answer them. The way these crowds are shouting out to Jesus, come and save us. He answers them, but not the way they're expecting him to. Because we can't second guess God. In the midst of everything we're experiencing right now in our nation and the nations across our planet, this pandemic, we can't second guess God. He hears our cries and he will answer them. But he'll actually start to answer the deeper need within each of us. You see, these crowds were shouting out, save us, free us. And he answered the prayer that was deep down inside of them, the slavery that they themselves were in, the freedom that they need. Our Jesus always brings freedom, but perhaps not as we imagined. He always brings healing, but sometimes it's about revealing the wound deep down. He will deal with the isolation, but first he needs to know that we understand our deepest need can only be met in him. You know, Palm Sunday is about a triumphant entry, but it's not as we think. And the kingdom of God is not the way we think it is. God who uses the foolish things of this world to display his strength. God, we cry out in our weakness. Just cry out now. Just start to pray out to him now, each in our own homes, as families. Let's just start to pray to him. God, would you work on earth as in heaven? We need your kingdom, your rule and your reign, your way. And we pray your kingdom on earth as in heaven. Not on earth our version of your kingdom. Not our heaven that makes our life so much better the way we want it. Because even when we get it our own way, it still doesn't come out the best way. Even when our MPs are in power, even when we want what we want and we get it, still it doesn't meet every need. It doesn't fulfill everything, because God, it's you that we ultimately need. So we cry out to you on earth as in heaven, your rule and your reign. Will you hear the cries of your children? God, will you see the root of those cries? That we cry out Hosanna on this Sunday. God, we need you to save us. Those of us that have been journeying with you for years, and those that have only just started, or maybe you're just watching this live stream right now and don't even know you. They're just confused and baffled by everything that's going on. Our cry is Hosanna. But God, in that cry is a trust to believe that you will save us. You will save us how you need to save us. Not our definition of salvation, but yours, which we remember this week took you to the cross, took you to the place of death, so we could know life. So God, will you come? Alan, I wonder if you could just start to play for us, just as we're praying, just as we're crying out, just as we're believing Hosanna to the Son of David, save us, King of Kings. We cry out to him, but we also humble ourselves and sit at his feet, knowing that no work is too hard for him. That we are powerless, but we come to the one that is powerful, and we lay down our definition of salvation, what it means for us to be all that you're calling us to be, Lord, and we just humble ourselves. We just cry out to you, God, King of Kings. Pour out your presence. Pour out your presence. Pour out your presence. Here working in this place,
worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in our homes. I worship you. I worship you. Surprises you, you reign supreme. was no other way. You made one, Jesus. You are the way, the truth, the life. All things are created through you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are holy.
Father, we want to thank you that you are the promise keeper. God, you keep your promises. They never fail. They are always faithful. You remain the same. You are consistent, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, we thank you. We thank you. The Lord, in our tumultuous life, in the ups and downs of our life, you are faithful and you remain constant. You remain the same. And we can trust you and we can live for you and with you. You know, this week I was struck by, I'm not on social media or anything like that, so I'm not seeing what's going on around the Christian world. But I can guess that, because every generation, we grab onto the things of Scripture and we apply them to our life, which is the joy, the incarnation of our God, is that he is one that breathes into and speaks into every circumstance and every situation. And it's almost like, for us, these birth pains that we read of in Scripture, they've suddenly become real to us, haven't they? It's like maybe God's shifting something, maybe God's doing something, and maybe we're experiencing some of these birth pains. I want to encourage you and say, maybe, yeah, absolutely. God is stirring and doing something. But we're actually experiencing something that people around the world have been experiencing possibly for generations. That the birth pains that we may be saying, God, you're now doing something, that actually God has been stirring stuff around the world and people have been experiencing those things for generations. And they're now saying at last, there's some nations that realize that God's doing some stuff because he's been working through generation after generation, and people have been experiencing this shifting and changing of society and our structures, and the pain that they're experiencing, God is working through it to bring about his purposes. So what we're going to do now for just a few moments together is we're going to start to pray. Maybe for these next 10 minutes, Ian's going to lead us in a prayer for the nations, that this is something that's happening across the world, that we're all experiencing this. It's not just suddenly come knocking on our door, but we're now catching up with, I think, where other nations have been a lot ahead of us in this, experiencing what God is doing in the world. Ian, will you just lead us? Will you take us into this next season of prayer, this next moment of prayer?
Yeah, absolutely, John. I think what you've said there is really helpful. because, you know, you're right. For many nations across the globe, this coronavirus is just one thing on top of many things that they've been experiencing over the course of generations, you know. And so for the partners that we work with overseas, they are they're working with people who, if they don't eat, if they don't work, they don't eat. You know, they don't have government welfare systems that are able to step in and help and provide in the way that we have experienced here in the West. And so I think when it comes to our doorstep, we begin to get an awareness and an alertness of what God is doing across the globe. And so it's right that we begin to assess and understand what God is trying to do in these days. But you know, the plight of many across the globe is only going to be heightened as a result of this. And so, you know, one of our global partners, when talking about the coronavirus, suggested, well, you know, if it's not corona, it may well be malaria, or it may well be hunger. You know, it's one of those things that they wrestle with. And so we want to spend some time praying, really, for global issues, nations that are represented. Before we do that, I wanted to just introduce you to Pastor Sam Dinakara, who is the one of our partners in India. He's the pastor of Good News Ministries in Mumbai, and he's just a great man who's doing great work there, and he's just got a short message for us.
Dear friends, as you know that this pandemic disease had entered into this land, and India, every day we have been seeing new cases. Even Maharashtra have been affected more than any other state. In Dharavi, 3 people have been affected because of coronavirus. Because of that, the entire area has been sealed down. People are not able to go out, and people are struggling, and people are suffering. And in this stage, I want you to pray for us and pray for the work that we are doing in Mumbai, in Dharavi area. Through this pandemic disease, people should come to God. People should realize that a life is more important than the things of this world. I want you to pray for our country. We want you to pray for our nation. We want you to pray for Dharavi and our family and our church. And we are also praying for you, for your country. Surely the Lord is going to heal all of us. And he is going to do great and mighty things. His word says all things work together for good. And I know that God has a hidden plan. Through this, his name will be glorified and more people will come to Christ. Thank you for your love. God bless you.
It's been an absolute joy to be able to walk with Pastor Sam for the last 18 months or so, and just see some of the work that he and his ministry and people are doing in Mumbai. But I want to read this psalm before we go any further, and before I just guide us in some prayer for Sam and others who are working in various areas across the world. But it's one of my most favorite psalms, and it's this, Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his face to shine upon us, so that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy, for you judge the peoples with fairness and you lead the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has produced its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Struck by those opening verses, may God be gracious to us and bless us. We desperately need the grace of God, don't we, to be evidenced in our day, among the nations, among his people. Why? So that his way may be known on the earth. You know, one of the things that Pastor Sam pointed us to was that the people of Dharavi and Mumbai may encounter God in fresh ways. And so maybe you could just spend the next couple of minutes taking Pastor Sam to God in prayer, and the Good News Ministry and the people of Dharavi, and pray that in this crisis and in this moment, that God would do a work of salvation like never before, that people would indeed come to him and that his name would be made known in that area of the world. So just you could do that, just take a few moments to pray for Pastor Sam. Alan, maybe you could just play something as people do that, and I'll come back in a couple of minutes. Yeah, it's great. Lord, we thank you for people like Pastor Sam who have heard the call to leave the familiar place of his hometown to move into a new area all those years ago to pioneer gospel work. And so, Lord, we pray that in these days of crisis, that you would do a work that could not have happened had this not taken place, Lord, that you would redeem what the enemy has sought to use for evil to bring it about for good, that people would indeed come to faith in you like never before, Jesus. And so maybe in the next few minutes we could begin to just think, take our attention to other parts of the globe. You know, there's townships in South Africa, there are other slums in India, there are barrios in South America, there are other environments that are going to be affected by this very thing, because if people, the majority of people around the world, they don't work, they don't eat, and where they can't work and they can't eat, then often social unrest can result. And so let's begin to pray that the church in these nations would begin to step up in ways that maybe they haven't done before, that they would begin to be that light in the darkness, that they would begin to be generous beyond their ability to be generous, that they would give what we can give, as the Macedonian church did in 2 Corinthians 8. You know, you can maybe have a look at that and read over that. That this church that were afflicted and in hardship, they were compelled, they were begging to be involved in the giving to the wider work. And so maybe as God's people, we can learn some lessons. Sure, there's some hardship, but may we rise with generosity, not simply our church, but the church across the nations. So let's just begin to pray for mercy and provision in some of the most neediest parts of the globe. What are the nations on your heart? Maybe you can put those into the chat as you're starting to do, and let's begin to pray for them.
Those nations we want to see God move in, bring healing to. Guyana, Haiti, Australia, South Africa, Kenya, the Iranian refugees, Yemen, Syria, Israel, Barbados, Spain. Lord, we bring these nations to you. Those that are being impacted so much by this virus, those that we know need your embrace. God, we bring them to you right now. In our mind's eye, we just lift those nations, the leaders, to you, turn their hearts to you. Let your spirit just come and hover over the chaos, like we read in Genesis. That there was an order brought in the chaos as your spirit hovered. Will you hover over each of these nations? Nations represented by those that are listening and watching right now. Lord, we see your glory fall on every nation. That we call in that moment when every tribe, tongue, people from every nation and generation will gather around your throne, declaring your glory. Lord, bring healing, bring wholeness, and stir our hearts. Lord, even in this moment where we're caught up in something as a nation, stir our hearts. Stir our hearts for what stirs yours, Lord, the very ends of the earth. It's been really challenged by 2 Corinthians 8. Ian just referenced it just then, but we see this church in Macedonia. It says in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 8, during a severe trial brought about by affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Wow, can you imagine if the church in the UK, during a severe trial brought on by affliction, was overwhelming people around us with an abundant joy? In the midst of our extreme poverty, we overflow in a wealth of generosity. Church, I don't know what that means for us. We're praying into it. Who knows? But we're just believing that maybe this is a season where we, the church in the UK, even though we face this affliction, we can overflow with an abundant joy. That in our extreme poverty, which doesn't compare to the physical poverty of others, but the poverty of what life has been taken from us and how we now have to live, we can overflow with a generosity to those in need. So church, we're praying into that. We're believing God for that. It's someone's asking what verse it was. It's 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2. The Macedonian church, just this overwhelming sense of joy in the midst of what they face. Church, so we pray this week. We're going to finish with a song in a minute. I want to encourage you, get connected with Connect Groups this week. All of our teaching has shifted into Connect Groups. We're journeying together. We're going deeper into God. We're looking at some of these practices. If you want to connect with us, you can chat, put on the chat that you want to be part of one of those. I think we've got 95% of our church are now in Connect Groups. So we're just thrilled by that as we journey together. But also, if you want to give, then there's a link just above in this window. There's a link where you can give. We're just trying to explore how we can be a church that give joyously and generously in this season where we ourselves find ourselves afflicted. So God, I pray this week that we would overflow with an overwhelming joy. Let the spirit of joy, that fruit of your spirit, fall upon each one of us right now in this moment where we don't even realize that we need it. Suddenly we get overwhelmed from the inside, bubbling out this stream of living water that overflows with a joy and a generosity. Not just financially, but physically with the ones that we're spending our time with, where we might be frustrated because we're having to die to self a little bit more with the people closest to us. When we're not getting to do what we want, let a joy and a generosity overflow. Let us sense the work of your spirit in each one of us, because God, you're working in and through us. So will you pour out your joy over each one of us this week? Let us know the God of joy who delights in us. And out of that, we get to delight and be joyous no matter the circumstances. So pour out your spirit. Church, we're going to finish with a song. We're going to just declare the truth of who God is. So let's sing that out. Let's sing as Alan leads us. But I just want to encourage you this week. Know that God is for you, that his joy is with you and in you, and is something you can tangibly experience. Just ask, seek him, spend some time in his presence as we sung about today, and just see what God can do. God bless you all. Alan, will you lead us in a final song?
Time has come. Stand.